I'm going to go to Dr. Bob Zybek at this point, and then I'm going to get back to some of your phone calls and emails on this First Amendment Friday. Dr. Zybek, it's good to have you back on the program. I want you to update us on where we stand now. We'll remind people that the Common School Fund is supposed to have been earning millions of dollars over the years from something called the Elliott State Forest. It's a great forest, but it's been in public hands, and because of the rules imposed on it by the government owners of it, it has actually gone from making money for the Common School Fund to losing money for the Common School Fund. And there was a plan to sell it so that at least the school fund could get something out of it. Kate Brown, the governor, had originally backed it. Then she opposed it. Where do we stand at this point?
Well, Lars, we had a meeting on May 9th, and the Oregon Land Board overturned their decision to sell. So that was a big deal. That was it was a single bidder on a fixed price. And I'm for privatization of government lands, but the Elliott is a special case and a real opportunity to do research to help resolve a lot of the issues of the timber wars of the last 20 years and particularly address how we're managing federal lands.
All right. And so at this point, the plan is to keep it in public hands, which seems to be Kate Brown's big motivator at this point. What does that mean for the Common School Fund? Do they continue to not make money on this and perhaps even lose money?
Well, it sounds like it. They gave us a Wayne Giese, who's 97 years old, and I an opportunity to present the Giese plan. They've been following along on it quite a bit. It stresses education. It stresses hundreds of jobs. It stresses 100% recreational opportunities for Oregonians, and it creates a 35,000-acre preserve for marbled murrelets and spotted owls. So there's something for everybody. But what they're seemingly wanting to do is to go to the Fish and Wildlife Service, take another year or two without any sales, and then put together one of these habitat conservation plans, HCPs, that have never worked, in lieu of putting the forest to work as it had been initially intended by law to generate funds.
So that means more money lost? Because
absolutely. They're even estimating that there'd be less than 20 million board feet sold a year after the HCP. But in the 1980s, they were logging 50 million board feet a year. It produces more footage than that per year, so that wasn't even keeping up with the growth. And now the trees are larger and older. So there's
and
an
worth,
opportunity.
Worth more money is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. And more jobs. It's estimated that following the Giese plan would create over 400 jobs almost immediately and generate an estimated $20 to $25 million a year for the school fund, which is what the law intended.
Is anybody in government going to stand up and say the requirement is that this make money for the Common School Fund? And if we can't make it do that, this action is, well, is it fair to say it's unconstitutional? Because it's
maybe even illegal.
Maybe illegal.
Yep. We've got new laws from the federal government on management of spotted owls, but as Dean Manis said at the meeting on Tuesday, there's been no new research on spotted owls in 25 years. And one of the things I turned in was a part of a report we did in 1994 on the Elliott when they were managing for plans at that time, and was pointed out that the murrelet science was really, really weak, and the spotted owl science was merely weak. The models aren't working. They didn't predict barred owls. They predicted increases in population. And initially, they were assuming that it was an old-growth-dependent species, but there's no old growth on the Elliott.
No.
So it doesn't make sense.
I mean, and by that, people will say, but it looks old-growth. No, they may be second-growth trees. They're big trees, but they're not old-growth. They are second- or third-growth, right?
Absolutely. That's it. There's one. I really liked Secretary Richardson's eight principles. They would make an ideal eight criteria for establishing the variations between the plants. Number one is to stress education, which is what we stress. He also stresses jobs and income, which is good. But then he says to take the old growth from the Elliott, which there is none, and trade it off so that we get second growth forests. Well, the Elliott was formed by trading for second growth in the 1920s. So in 1930, we had about 90,000 acres of young second growth, not even any merchantable or very little merchantable timber on it, and that's the reason we have it. It's a second growth forest.
Wow. Well, Dr. Zybak, keep at it, because we want to make sure that they do right by the Common School Fund. And I just think it's a horrible tragedy that an $800 million asset has been turned into a $200 million lesser asset to the detriment of the schools. And I appreciate your efforts and the efforts of Dr. Giese.
Can I make one more point?
Yeah, please.
Plan has been getting very good reviews from Dean Manis at Oregon State, from Senator Farioli and others, but they point out the big problem, it only lasts for 20 years. So at that point, the state could sell or continue or whatever. At least we'd have 20 years of a learning experience. But they're saying that the main problem is litigation. And part of the plan says that in exchange for 35,000 acres for 20 years, that the litigants would not litigate. That, in other words, they would allow the forest to operate, allow this public experiment to continue forward, and all of us to benefit by the lessons learned.
Well, Dr.
Zybak, that's the point we have to stress.
And I'm glad to stress it. I just want to see the right thing done here. Thank you very much for joining us for a moment. Back in just a moment. It's First Amendment Friday. We'll get to your phone calls and your emails. And glad always to take naysayers to the head of the line at 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com.